everybody. Welcome to Drive Through HR. Brian Nisha and William coming to you live every day talking about HR with the people who are getting it done. So today, definitely have a colleague, a friend, somebody who I definitely have admired for a long time. So just the perspective is always fun to chat with. Welcome back to Drive Through HR, Ms. Jennifer McClure.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here during the Women's Month of June 2013.
Dude, we have been just bringing all sorts of talent to the internet, not airwaves, but to the interwebs on conversations. I was, that was actually, I'll give credit where credit is due. That was William's brainchild, and it's been absolutely fantastic. It's literally been a month of people that I respect and adore, and it just has been continually just greatness every single day. So, and we're going to continue the trend throughout the month. So,
I appreciate the opportunity once again.
Oh, so if you can, let's kick it off. Introduce yourself, and then we'll roll from there.
Sure. Jennifer McClure, and I have my own company that I started about 3.5 years ago called Unbridled Talent, LLC. The thought behind that was I love my horse, so I wanted to work in horses, but I also believe that talent in today's world is really more and more unbridled in the sense that they're not tied to companies as we have been mentally or physically in the past with, you know, golden handcuffs or the thoughts that I need to work with a company for 20 years or 30 years or retire and get my pension. So I want to work with companies, with HR pros and recruiting pros on the strategy of kind of attracting, recruiting, and retaining talent in today's world. So that's what I do through speaking, training, workshops, and doing some client consulting work.
Well, and you, and so how many, big question, I know you probably get this asked all the time, but I've never asked it, so I get to ask it again. How many trips do you think you take in a calendar year? Because your business is really based on getting in front of people, being involved. I mean, it's a lot of face-to-face type interactions to build your business, you know, sustain and grow, you know, grow your business. So how many trips? What's the magic number in a year that you do?
Currently, I'd say I haven't run the numbers, but probably last year I spoke at maybe 40 or 50 different events. This year, probably tracking on that same pace. I would love to be somewhere every, you know, a couple of speaking events or training or workshop events, maybe a couple of times a week. But for the last 10 months, I've actually been filling in as a acting VP of HR with a client of mine. So I've been on the road every week this year, which I don't mind. And it's a nice arrangement in the sense that when I'm not supposed to be somewhere else doing my thing with Unbridled Talent, I'm there and I'm getting to live the life of a day-to-day HR pro and kind of resharpen some skills in that area. So I think Foursquare told me yesterday, 28 weeks in a row on the road and in hotels and at airports. So I like that. It's good.
Well, you're, and that's, I think that's one of the things that, and that's the thing is, I don't mind traveling either. I think there's a handful of folks out there that actually, one, if you're traveling, you're usually making money. I guess that's maybe an obvious one. But two, if you actually don't mind it, it's and you kind of get in your routine, right? It's one of those. It's like everything else. You get in your routine, so you start to make everything easier because you know where to go, you know what to do. You take all the unknowns out, and it's like, hey, you know, it's kind of there's a familiarity level, right?
Right.
And that just makes it easier and more enjoyable if you can take out some of the unpleasant unknowns. So, well, good for you. I knew that it had to be, you know, you pretty much were hitting it as hard as anybody and more than most. So keep up the great work with that. And so, Jennifer, what did you wake up this morning and what was top of mind when you were having your coffee this morning and today?
well, I was thinking I don't drink coffee, I drink Diet Coke. And so the first thing on my mind was find one, which I did. The street vendors of New York took care of me. Probably top of mind, I actually had dinner last night with Victoria Milan. So the beauty of traveling around to different places and speaking or doing work in different cities is being able to connect in person, face-to-face, with people that I've met throughout the years via social media and read their blogs, and the people that inspire me, and Victoria is certainly one of those people, and also Ben Brooks, who was formerly with Marsh, who's kind of venturing out on his own. So we were having a conversation after the conference yesterday that both Ben and I spoke at, the social media for HR seminars put on the conference board, and just kind of in general, I'm still, because I do speak about the future of HR, and I have been for like 3 years now, and some of it's similar, some of it's different, I speak a lot about social media, not necessarily by design, but HR and recruiting pros are certainly interested in learning about social media. And, of course, I attend a lot of conferences and events as a speaker or as an attendee, and I want to learn at each of those events, so I'm listening to other people. And there's been a little tension or constant tension, I guess, amongst the people who do go to a lot of the conferences and are maybe active on social media, particularly for the last couple of years, about, you know, nobody's talking about anything new. You know, everybody's talking about the future of HR, but nobody's saying anything new. Or with social media, you know, we're so over talking about Facebook or Twitter or LinkedIn. Nobody's talking about anything new. And because I still, you know, very much interact with clients on a daily basis that are HR practitioners and small to medium to large size companies, as well as being at a lot of these events where HR and recruiting practitioners are attending, I think there's a real gap between what, you know, that adoption curve, those people that are on kind of the downward slide of the adoption curve with social media are bored, are not seeing anything new, but the vast majority of HR recruiting professionals are still very much on the early phase of that adoption curve. So I personally don't mind continuing to talk about those things. And when I talk about the future of HR, like my session that one of the sessions I did at the SHRM conference last week, I really just tried to go back and say, you know, these things are not, I'm not building a rocket ship to the moon here. I'm not going to have you leave here with something necessarily that you've never heard before. But what I think the future of HR is really about, when we've talked in the past about seat at the table, you know, it's more about how are you gaining influence and what are you wanting to do with that influence in the organization and how are you wanting the ball and running with opportunities to get involved in the business. So I'm kind of still struggling with how do we bridge that gap when there's a core group of people that are saying, I'm not hearing anything new, I'm bored. And then there's a large majority of people who are like, if I hear something new, I wasn't even doing what was old. And so I like that kind of interaction with all, but I guess I'm kind of at the midpoint of the year when conferences and events slow down, I'm kind of sitting back and saying, you know, what do I need to be talking about? I want to be talking about and encouraging people to do more and to be better and to learn and to access a lot of the great resources that are out there. But there's this real dichotomy of groups out there. So that's what's keeping me awake at night, I guess.
Okay. Well, that's a nice small truckload, so we're good there.
truckload, I like that.
Well, you know, and it's funny because, I mean, you can pick, you know, this conversation, and you can overlay to a bunch of different lanes, right? When you look at body of knowledge, there's a bunch of different things, I mean, relative to compensation, talent acquisition, you know, engagement. It's another one of those conversations that, because you've introduced a bunch of kind of technology and new concepts like, you know, connecting and interacting with a lot of unknown. you know, those are two things. When you put unknown and a bunch of technology into the mix, I think that just, it doesn't matter whether it's human resources or it's other industries, I think those are two components that just freak people out. Because they're, you know, because one, I've got to kind of learn about a new technology, what are all the downsides, usually more than the upsides. I mean, that's just that that innate cynicism, my perspective. And so people are really slow to kind of walk into it, especially HR being hypersensitive to the fact that everything I say and do potentially could affect, you know, how people see me in my role, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I get that. And, you know, I push back as much as anybody. Like, you got to take some chances, and you can't live in the cave the whole time because that's just a really small, dark, kind of smelly little place to live. You get out in the sunshine a little bit and enjoy the fact that you can connect with a lot of people and learn a lot of things. So in that conversation, what are any surprises? And if you didn't have any, that's all right too. But what are any surprises you've had in this last kind of intense round of conversations that you've been having over the last couple of weeks at conferences with practitioners?
Yeah, and I guess, you know, in terms of surprises, not necessarily surprises, but still kind of working on those aha moments. And as I mentioned earlier, having been doing back in the day-to-day kind of HR leadership role in a company for the last 10 or 11 months, there's just a real divide between, you know, we're pushing HR practitioners in particular. Recruiting is a little bit different because you kind of have to be on, you know, there's a transactional aspect of recruiting, but then there's the employment branding and the talent attraction, and you kind of have to be doing some things new and different. So much of HR, you know, we can belittle a conference agenda because it's all about FMLA or healthcare reform or, you know, and nobody's talking about how to be innovative, whatever. And I think in a lot of ways we're belittling the practitioner, whether they're an HR generalist or a senior VP of HR, because a good portion of their day is taken up with, you know, planning for the benefits, open enrollment 6 months in advance, and then actually doing it, and then what is happening with healthcare reform and 401k administration, and getting people to understand how to treat people according to the values and communicating. It's just a really big job. So to intimidate people by telling them by doing their jobs really well, that they're not being innovative or they're not the future of the profession, I think I see some practitioners that are struggling with that because they're like, you know, I don't have time answer is not necessarily a good answer because we all choose how we spend our time, and you can choose to spend it differently. But even in my role, in the day-to-day role right now, here I am at a conference. I spoke this morning. I did a workshop after that. I'm talking to you right now. Meanwhile, I've been emailing back and forth with the company trying to handle some day-to-day HR issues. Then I have a 401k call, trustee call this afternoon. And tomorrow I'll be in another city working with them. It's just the pace of business, and for any professional, it's really fast and there's a lot going on. And I think we should all probably set aside, myself included, the 10 or 20% of our time to maybe sit down and think about how to be innovative. But what I challenge people at the HR or SHRM conference is basically just to think about something you can do different. You know, I said to blow shit up, basically. But think about doing something different rather than thinking about how to reinvent. How can we do something different that might change our thinking, or how can we you know, approach something differently? Or I certainly encourage people to follow other HR practitioners and recruiting practitioners and people in the industry, the talking heads, et cetera, to see what's new and next, and then follow and learn from others. But for the most part, it's a big job to do the day-to-day role.
For sure. So you jumping back into that, you know, helping out, or consulting with your client, what's been a revelation on that front since you're back in as like a VP of, you know, an actual VP of HR, you know, back on the desk, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Has anything came to you now that you've been out of it and you've been consulting for a while, let everybody know, for, you know, and talking and consulting, and now that you're back in handling the day-to-day tactical or, you know, leading that, what's been a revelation?
You know, early on, it was something that actually within the first week or two, I was excited to confirm what I had always felt. And then I mentioned, you know, Victoria and I were talking about it last night. I struggle with as someone who is almost a 20-year practitioner in HR and then spent almost 5 years in executive recruiting, and then for the last 3 years I've, you know, had my own business. And as a speaker, there is a lot of particularly back-channel communications or maybe even some people looking down upon the person who is, quote, a consultant. So you're not a practitioner. You can't possibly understand my day-to-day. You know, how dare you be speaking on a platform and telling me, you know, how I can do different things or do my job better when you're not actually doing it. And that always kind of rubs me the wrong way because I still feel like a practitioner at heart. I just feel like as a consultant and as a speaker, I have chosen to take my time and focus it on really being a student of the profession and reviewing best practices and making contacts and connections with companies and just studying it on a day-in, day-out basis where the daily practitioner maybe doesn't have the time that I do as a consultant to do that. So when I started back in the role, and originally it was supposed to be like 3 days and then it was going to be a couple of months and, you know, now it will eventually end, but I'm still there. I remember posting on Facebook at one point and I just posted, I still got it. And then Jeff Webb responded and he's like, what do you still have? And I was like, what I always had. Because I reconfirmed to myself that HR leadership in particular, and I'm not talking about someone who is in a specialist role like payroll or benefits or you know, some of those where you do need to be keeping up with the laws and the regulations and the ins and outs of that on a daily basis. From a leadership aspect, it is still very much about influencing people, about building relationships in order to get things accomplished. It's about listening to people and funneling that to the right channels. I don't have to be the day-to-day expert in FMLA. I don't have to be the day-to-day expert in the benefits. And the reality is it's just happened to me a couple of times this week. I've asked, you know, the resident expert in the company something about COBRA or FMLA, and both times they were like, well, let me Google it. And I was like, well, I guess I could have done that. So a lot of that tactical stuff is available, but people who really do well in leadership roles, it's about so much more than that tactical. And I guess it was just good for me, or at least to myself, if no one else, to reconfirm that when I am standing up in front of people and I'm trying to encourage them to lead or to step forward or to do something different or to follow a best practice or something I've seen another company do really well, that I have some credibility in the sense that I can still function in that role. You know, I feel like I'm able to do it because it's really about leading, influencing, building relationships, and that's for any management or leadership role in a company, not just HR recruiting.
Then let me do a quick reset. Everybody, you're listening to Drive Through HR. It's Brian talking with the wonderful Jennifer McClure. And thank you for sharing that. It's always interesting because I haven't, I mean, it's been, oh my gosh, 12, 13 years since I was in, actually in recruiting, you know, talent acquisition. We called it recruiting back then, but talent acquisition. And, I, you know, it's interesting. It's always, there's that outlying thought of how would I approach it differently? Because there's so many more tools. When you think 13 years ago, when you think 2000, the tools and the, you know, the overall kind of acceptance or adoption of a lot of different things as far as, you know, sourcing, kind of pulling through, you know, people through the process, how relationships work. I mean, social media, I mean, for God's sake, social media wasn't even invented yet in 2000. So, you know, so it's one of those, you know, that's a pondering point. So it's interesting to hear you kind of feel the validation and share that. So,
but, you know, I'm no different than anybody else. If I go to particularly like a national conference, I do want to see some strong practitioners who are standing up there who have the title of, you know, HR manager, director of HR, VP of HR, talent acquisition, either one. I want to hear from those people. I want to hear case studies about what they're doing. But I also want to hear some consultants or, you know, some people who are really immersed in the industry and not necessarily just looking at the practices of one company, but are looking at different companies, different sizes. So I just really wish we could all just get along. There's value in all sides, you know, the PhDs of the world and the professors like Matthew Stolich are people who really have a lot to share, and I think HR practitioners and talent professionals can learn from people like that. But then I absolutely want to see a Steve Brown or a Jay Coons or, you know, a Robin Schooling, someone like that, also at the same conference or event who's giving kind of a different perspective and has that kind of credibility.
Well, and that's, you know, what a good goal. Let's all get along and be professional and try and raise the knowledge, elevate the knowledge of the profession. That is not a new concept, but always good to hear. By the way, if you people are not following, everybody, Victoria Million, you should. One of my favorite people on the face of the planet. So glad you got to spend some time with him. So give him a little shout out. So what is, you know, let's put the futurism hat on. So in 2014, let's look a year out. What are some surprise? I mean, what's a surprise that you and maybe you don't want to share? I think you will, because you're pretty good about sharing information. So what's something that you kind of are keeping an eye on further out than 90 days, 6 months? Let's get a year, 2 years out. What's something that you're like, this might happen. This might go down in the HR world.
That's a great question. I don't know that I have anything that pops top of mind. Yes, there's going to be a lot over the next few months. Any HR professional is going to be heavily involved in that open enrollment, budgeting, healthcare reform, all that kind of stuff is going to take up some time. So in a way, it may slow down some of what's new, what's next. But I do see that we've talked about for a long time HR professionals being business professionals and understanding the business and knowing how the business makes money. But now you've got someone in a particularly high-profile role at Yahoo who's the chief development officer, who didn't come from HR but was hired as the EVP of people, I believe, and now has moved into having also M&A activity, product development. So she's all development, and Marissa Mayer is being very supportive of her and combining those roles as the real engine for growth at Yahoo is the people and the culture. So she's married the roles of that business development as well as the people development, and had a great quote in an article recently that just like the CIO role has kind of been created over the last few years and the prominence of that in organizations has come along, this chief development type role, and not everybody needs a C-level title, so again, whether you're the HR person or not, but that real tie between the business and how people affect the growth and not having those be separate silos, but HR or talent acquisition really either partnering very strongly and closely with the operations and the product development sides and doing everything and understanding that a talent is a big piece of that growth, I think is going to be more and more of a trend. And now that you have kind of that high-profile person, high-profile company leading the way with that, I think you'll see more and more of that. And that's a good change.
Well, that's great point, because it's, you know, I think it's innately human nature. Nobody wants to be first, but a lot of people want to be second. And it's kind of the old, you know, risk mitigation factor there. So, you know, and that's pretty high-profile. They've had a, you know, it's been a high profile year of 12 months for Yahoo, which I think that's exactly what they need. I mean, they have, you know, they're lucky to have a good cash reserve and just good brand to sustain, or they probably would have, you know, been absorbed by somebody with all the missteps they've, you know, taken strategically with their business. So they need to just double down.
Being talked about in the media or what's new with them, it's interesting and encouraging, I guess, to see that often Marissa Mayer and Jackie Reese are kind of mentioned in the same article. So they're almost like a team of two that is trying to lead this Yahoo reinvention. So how cool is that, that the people person is there and not, you know, the CIO, although, you know, I'm sure they're very involved. But when they're talking about, you know, acquiring companies, a whole piece of their strategy is the acqui-hires. So they're acquiring companies primarily, in a lot of cases, to get the talent. So making sure that the people person and development and M&A person and all that is aligned, that's a great place for HR to be in.
Yeah, and it'll be fun, you know, over the next year or two, it'll be really fun to see kind of what direction that takes and how that takes them competitive-wise, and, you know, if we see it in a year or two. But it's good to, you know, just heighten the awareness of that and encourage it, other companies, because people really do a lot of lip service around, you know, obviously people are the most important, and then the actions don't, you know, this is my cynical side jumping out here, like top shelf here. You know, because you've heard that bullshit for so long. It's like, God, people are so important. And then none of the actions actually reflect it in a company. And I just am like, oh, my God, not again. You know, come on, step up to the plate and do the right thing. And if you get good people in any role, guess what? It's intentional. And the culture becomes intentional. And good things can happen. I mean, it's not a complicated – ultimately, it's not a complicated model. But
right.
So,
well, and a lot of CEOs and company leaders can say, you know, people are our most important asset and we need our people in order to grow. But to really kind of put that rubber to the road by saying not only are our people our most important assets, but it's a really important piece to our growth strategy. And we are considering that just as important, if not more important, than the companies that we acquire or the business initiatives that we go into or the products that we develop, because we know that having the best talent is going to help us to be able to do all of those things, whereas if we don't have the best talent, we won't be able to do those things.
There is no doubt about that. Just bronze that and send it out to everybody to look at every day. And I think the world would be a better place. I'm convinced of it. The whole world.
We have solved the world's problems today, then, right?
that's a good 30 minutes, Mr. Kluwer, I might say. So, what's a good book? Any books that you've read or anything you've read lately? I just finished up Blake Makowski's book from Tom's. After I saw him speak, got that and finished that up. So I'm looking for another one, especially around. Companies that are really focused in on some aspect of corporate social responsibility and being more involved in doing that. Any suggestions?
I don't have any in that arena, and I haven't actually I read a lot of blogs, but I haven't read a good book lately. But I have a couple that are on my desk in my office that I will be reading. They've probably been mentioned on your show before, but I definitely want to read Dr. Crosby's book. You're Not That Great.
Of course.
So I have it. I ordered it. You know, I paid for it. I want to read it. And same thing with Twang Lay's Lean HR book. I like the concept, and I want to read more of that. Obviously, I've heard Dwayne speak and appreciate kind of the application of lean principles to HR. Another good book, not related necessarily to social stuff, is one that I have kind of trudged through, and someone just in general that I admire as a blogger and a content producer is Michael Hyatt, so michaelhyatt.com. And his last book was a book called Platform. So it's really kind of laying out how important it is to build a platform in today's world, you know, from a personal brand standpoint, as well as, you know, just how the world functions and getting your name out, whether it's company or individual, and through social media, but also through kind of taking your knowledge and systemizing it. So I think that's a good book for anybody to read as well.
Well, I definitely have not heard about Michael Hyatt's book. The other ones, absolutely, everybody. I just thought everybody had read them. So I think that you were the only person that hasn't read them. I can't believe you do that. No, I'm kidding. But check it out.
I purchased them.
Joe, and, you know, that does count, like, a lot. So, but it's great content from a practitioner. I mean, Daniel, Dr. Crosby, and Dwayne both are practitioners in the industry. Well, Jennifer, we are out of time as usual. It has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. Look forward to seeing you again sometime in the near future. And we are going to roll on out. Everybody, of course, if you don't follow Jennifer McClure, your life is not complete. So get that done as quickly as possible. So take it easy. Safe travels, folks. We are out of here.